do the theme, eh? Oh. Good day. Oh, do our new movie theme, eh?
Yeah, okay.
Okay, good day. I'm Bob McKenzie. This is my brother, Doug.
How's it going, eh?
Welcome to our movie, eh? Okay, our topic is movies.
Yeah.
Okay, first off, difference between movies and TV, eh? Okay, go to TV.
This is the difference between TV and movies, eh?
So?
Okay, go back to movies.
Okay, zoom out, eh?
Yeah.
Let's show how big the screen is, eh? Zoom
look
out.
Look how huge it is, eh?
Like, normally we just have Great White North, eh? But look, we got... What's that over there?
Okay, like England and Ireland and France, eh?
He's a genius, eh? He knows the atlas. Okay, and over here we have...
Russia and Hawaii.
Okay, so all hosts in Russia and Hawaii and England, welcome to our movie.
How's it going,
okay,
comrades?
We made... zoom back in, eh? Okay, we made a movie, eh? So we're going to show that now.
Yeah.
Okay.
Beauty
this
idea.
Movie was shot in 3B. Three beers and it looks good, eh?
Hoserama. Call it Hoserama.
Okay, so we made a movie, so sit back, get some corn, and let's have this movie time.
Okay, turn it on.
Okay. Give enough time just to see. Okay.
Okay, then 10 years after World War IV.
2051. No, more.
What? No.
2051, the future.
They saw it already. Take
next
off.
Century.
I was the only one left on the planet after the Holocaust, eh?
Hey, go.
The Earth had been, like, devastated by nuclear war. Like, Russia blew up the U.S. and U.S. blew up Russia, eh?
Statue of Liberty.
Psst, act. Lucky for me, I'd been off-planet on vacation at the time of the war, eh? There wasn't much to do. All the bowling alleys had been wrecked. So as I spent most of my time looking for beer... One day, I was out looking for a nice place to build a city for my children when I spotted a mutant in the Forbidden Zone. I landed my vehicle to pursue and destroy this genetic freak before he could warn other mutants in the underground caves. I was kind of like a one-man force, eh? Like Charlton Heston in Omega Man. Did you see his beauty?
Yeah! Fleshy-headed mutant, are you friendly?
No way, eh? Radiation has made me an enemy of civilization.
Alpha Base, this is Bob McKenzie. I've spotted a fleshy-headed mutant in Sector 16B.
Oh, take off, you hoser!
Dude, what happened, eh? Film broke! Oh, jeez, gotta fix it, eh? Sorry, film broke. Hey, I can't see, eh? Turn the lights on,
his
what do you
fault.
Got?
He
hey,
wrapped it.
What not? Jeez, we had a lot of popcorn, too.
Ugh.
Okay, you cover, I'll fix film, eh?
Oh, I'm getting whiplash from my burps, eh?
Okay.
Ugh. Oh, nice going, you knob.
It's a motion picture without a single line of dialogue. There are no sound effects. But there is a soundtrack that may very simply blow you away. It's Walt Disney's Fantasia. And now it's been completely re-recorded in Dolby Stereo and digital sound. Fantasia, a fantastic journey to the very limits of your imagination, to a place where hippos dance, demons rage, and flowers become almost human. Fantasia, the ultimate in sight and sound, with animation that'll leave you breathless. Walt Disney's Fantasia. Still ahead of its time. Now in Dolby Stereo at selected theaters. Rated G, general audiences.
Hello, and welcome to The Movie Line, brought to you by and for the moviegoers of Southern California. And now, our host, Paul Mack.
Well, thanks for calling here and welcome back to the Movie Line for the week of December 4th through the 8th, 1983. Well, coming up this week, we've got Movie Line news once again for you. Also, an interview from the author of Never Cry Wolf. Plus, we've got a contest giveaway. That's right, a vacation soundtrack album that we'll be giving out next weekend. And also, we're going to be talking about a new film I'm making over here that's premiering next month. So thanks for calling, and now into the comments.
Oh, let me tell you something. If we hear John from Burbank go, ah, ah, one more time, we're going to have to knock him in the next week. And while I'm on the line, before I go, just have a question for you. Do you know what the girls in Encino put behind their ears to attract men? Their ankles.
Well, I don't know about dancing and singing in the rain, but I can fall down a lot when I'm skiing. And now my David of Burbank impression. Okay, and I'd like to leave a movie review, and this is Bob Ah, by the way, about the movie Nate and Hayes, the most underrated movie of 1983, my favorite movie all the way around, and it is not doing well in the box office. This movie is a great movie. I put it up there with Raiders, E.T., and Superman 1 and 2. It was a great movie, but not enough exposure, I guess, from the media or from Paramount, which produced it under the original name Savage Islands. Paul, tell us and the callers and me how this movie went, and if you can find out why this movie died, I'd be interested. And don't forget, this is Bob Observatory, now with a sore throat, because I've done Dave from Burbank, saying goodbye for now, and have a movie line input. Goodbye.
All right. What is this trash and garbage coming out about Dave from Burbank? Why is he so popular all of a sudden? What happened to me, huh? I mean, why am I getting all the hate mail, and why is he getting all the laugh mail? No, I want to know, seriously, why you guys are really putting this guy down. No, I mean, come on. This guy is a pitiful thing. You should see him. He's a scrawny guy, and he's got no friends. I pretend like I'm his friend, so the guy, you know, he comes over here and makes tapes, and he laughs, and that's the only way he gets out his anxieties. And you guys are putting down a good friend of mine here. A guy who scams on every single girl in his apartment building. That's right, Dave. I'm starting to sound like him now. Anyway, no, I'll tell you what. I'm going to have Dave down here next week, and we're going to have the Dave from Burbank Laugh Contest. That's right. So any of you people, start practicing your your Dave from Burbank laughs, and you'll be winning something. I'm serious. We're going to give something out. So Dave's going to be down here next week answering the phone live. That'll be Saturday afternoon. That's right, next Saturday. So call up next Saturday, and we'll both be answering live, and you can do your laugh for Dave, okay? All right, getting on to the Nathan Hayes theory here. Oh, boy, where was – oh, yeah, I'm here. Getting on to that one. Okay, you want to know, Bob, why a film like Nathan Hayes did not go over very well. Well, Nathan Hayes is what you call a sleeper. I didn't see the film, but I assume that it was boring. No, I mean, I'm sure you have a good sense of adjusting films. I mean, you like to say – you know what you're talking – when you watch it, you know exactly what you're doing. But I think that Nathan Hayes was just basically a product of bad publicity and bad timing. In other words, we're all Raiders of the Lost Ark out, right? So when you try to release a film that's trying to be like this one, I think everybody's kind of tired. Plus, they've gotten the best, I think, from Raiders of the Lost Ark, produced by George Lucas, directed by Steven Spielberg. So when you try to release a low-budget film like Nathan Hayes, and I mean, I think people are tired and they're not going to go waste their money, especially when there's so many other films that have been well-publicized, and Nathan Hayes didn't get publicity. So that's the basic reason for that, and if it is a good film, then it is, in fact, a sleeper. So we'll put it away at that one, and anyway, let's get on with this.
When Professor Frank Bryant...
Doctor, are you drunk? You don't really expect me to teach this when I'm sober.
...meets Rita, somehow their lives will never be the same.
You're my tutor.
But I've told you I do not want to do it. Why pick on me?
I like you.
She's determined to get an education.
Was that a book you're reading?
Yeah.
What's it called?
Oh, of Human Bondage.
Yeah? My husband's got a lot of books like that.
And nothing, but nothing is going to stand in her way. He helps her change her life.
Hello, Frank.
Teaches her everything he knows. Only he's the one who ends up learning a lot more than he bargained for.
Why didn't you walk in here 20 years ago?
I don't think they would have accepted me at the age of 6.
Michael Caine, Julie Walters, Educating Rita, rated PG, parental guidance suggested.
Now playing in Glendale at the Mann Glendale Theater. Number for information, 241-4177. Or in Woodland Hills at the General Cinema Theaters. Number for information, 703-7571. Those numbers in the 213 area code. Or in Orange at the City Center. Number for information, area code 714-634-2553.
Hi, Paul. This is Wes from Glendale. I wonder, will you be ready for the day after? It's going to be very soon, especially when two things are going to be happening, all consecutively events. First of all, there'll be a national Sunday law, then universal Sunday law, then the death decree Sunday law. And during this time, there'll be seven last plagues poured out upon the earth, and then Jesus' second coming. In the meantime, there'll be politically turmoil and religiously turmoil, and nothing will survive. Only those who put trust in Jesus Christ himself and totally lean upon him. And they will be redeemed when Jesus comes in the cloud of glory at the same time a World War III or World War IV happened at the same time, nuclear war, and Jesus would claim his people, 50-pound hailstone coming out of the sky, and massive destruction by fervent heat from Jesus' second coming, and nothing will be alive for 1,000 years on this earth.
Canadian author Farley Mowat lives happily isolated from civilization along a lonely stretch of Nova Scotia seashore. For 25 years, Mowat has written about the world around him.
The reality of life is what counts for me. The reality of watching an otter come to the surface with a fish down here on the beach and eat its fish, that is a total reality. There are other kinds of realities that I get here. Finding gray seals on the beach with great gaping bullet holes in them rotting away, that's a reality. And when these bloated bodies come ashore here, my tranquility is, as you can imagine, somewhat disturbed. The air turns blue.
As a young student biologist, Mowat was sent to the Arctic by the Canadian government. His mission? To confirm that packs of wolves were killing off the Yukon's great caribou herds.
They automatically assumed that my findings would confirm their conviction, the mythology, that the wolf was a terrible animal. And then I discovered over the period that I lived with the wolves that the whole thing was a lot of baloney. And so when I finally came back and wrote my reports, there was hell to pay.
Mowat's one-man stand in the Arctic is the subject of Never Cry Wolf, a new film by Black Stallion director Carol Ballard. The issue in Never Cry Wolf? Who's killing the caribou?
What was happening was that the caribou were being slaughtered in enormous numbers, mostly by white hunters, and for such stupid things as their tongues instead of the whole body. Sport hunters were coming up in aircraft and shooting a whole herd in order to get one good set of antlers. So, human beings being what they always are, they had to find a scapegoat. We never blame ourselves, you know. So the thing to do is to blame the wolves. The wolf plays an absolutely vital role as a control factor in wildlife populations because the animals they are taking are the ones that are least fitted for survival. They cull the herds and keep the herds healthy.
Today, the dispute rages on. Government officials contend that wolves do, in fact, endanger caribou herds. Farley Mowat, however, sings a different song about the wolf.
I discovered, and very quickly discovered, that wolves are chivalrous, playful. There's no such thing as a pack, by the way. They're only wolf families. And sometimes you get an extended family with a few extras, but it's always a family, and there's always one dominant male who everybody looks up to. He's the tribal leader. They acted, in other words, very, very much like human beings do.
On Cape Breton Island in Nova Scotia, this is Roy Firestone with author Farley Mowat.
Yes. Would you explain that short film you were talking about that was playing on one of the cable channels? As I have given up my cable for being a total ripoff, but I am curious, what is this short film all about? And describe it in such a way as you will realize that I will never see it. So describe it the best you can. Goodbye.
All right, The Visitant. I've mentioned it before, but I'll mention it again for Mr. Bernay there. Let me see here. I've got something here. Let me look through my tapes. Yes, let me just pop this one in the machine here. Da-da-da-dee-dee. Yeah. Try this on for size.
On October 31st, 1980, Jimmy Taylor was tragically killed in an automobile accident. His father, Jason Taylor, never quite recovered from his son's death.
Jimmy!
This is the story of Jason Taylor's visitation.
You can't get out.
Purgatory.
We're all locked in for one reason or another.
Yellow, I can tell.
Daddy, why?
Kelly!
Hope they turn it, Daddy.
She's among the living.
I'm not dead.
Why don't you believe her?
Jimmy!
Face it, mister. You're dead.
Purgatory. 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 Purgatory.
Paul Mack Productions brings you The Visitant.
All right, The Visitant is a story about a man who goes to visit his son's grave. His son passed away in a car accident, and later on we find out that he was the cause of his son's death. Of course, he knows it all along. However, you don't find this out till later, like I say. He goes to visit his son's grave, and all of a sudden, in the wind, he hears this voice calling to him, Daddy. And he turns around, and he sees his son standing there, and he doesn't know what to do. So all of a sudden, the boy says, Come here, Daddy, I want to talk to you. Come on. And the boy starts running, and he's following his son, and he doesn't even know why he's doing it. He's following his son all the way around the cemetery, and then a lot of strange things start happening to this man. He starts encountering strange ghouls and people in the cemetery that don't really belong there. They look like they're dead, but they're coming up with crazy lines like, if you're looking for the track meet, it'll be here at the college, you know, and just different things. And then eventually, he's confronted by this ghoul and running in terror from this, and then he stumbles upon his daughter, and he doesn't even know what she's doing there. He tries to get her attention, and she can't hear him. And then it's then that he realizes what is going on. She's giving a long monologue about how he killed himself and his son in a car accident from drinking. He got drunk and he killed them on the road that night. It was a rainy night, and she is standing over his grave, okay? And he just doesn't want to accept the fact that he's dead. And then he runs into a few other things, and it gets really strange. And then what eventually happens at the end of the film is that it starts all over again. It's quite interesting. It's like a Twilight Zone movie. That is basically the plot of the film, or so-called plot. It's very strange. I made it when I was 17, and I shot it on Super 8. Okay, professional Super 8 sound, and I was able to market it and get it into the onto TV because it was so well done. As a matter of fact, I have a review. It was shown at the New Art Theater, and it was reviewed here in a paper. And I'll read the review for you really quick, and we'll get on with the rest of the show. It says, of the films shown in a press screening, by far the outstanding film was The Visitant, a 22-minute psychological thriller of midday horror by 18-year-old Paul Mack. Mack has won several sci-fi awards for his film, and it is no wonder why. The Visitant is extremely well-made. It has creative camera techniques, an intriguing storyline, and a fascinating acting performance by Ronald Linares. Mack is now working at Disney Studios. I've been working on another film since June of 82. It's entitled Obliteration. It's going to be premiering January 20th, 1984, and next week I'm going to give you the time and place where you can see this film, and I'm sure a lot of you will be interested. It's kind of like the movie line party here. We've been looking forward to this for a long time, and Dan Ross, who passed away, worked on this film. We'll be talking more about that on tapes to come, and we'll let you know how you can get to this premiere. And now back into the tape.
Hi, this is Cindy from Van Nuys, and I just saw a pretty good movie, Tears of Endearment. I almost said Tears of Endearment because it's such a tear-jerking movie. But it was a real good movie, a lot of good character development, and storyline went along pretty well. It was nice to see Jack Nicholson in a role where he was an axe murdering somebody or something, you know, some crazed lunatic. He added a lot to that movie. And I don't know, I just thought it was a real good movie. I think you should all, you know, get a chance to go out and see it. That's it, bye.
Yes, this is Jeff from West L.A., and I'd just like to make one comment about a movie I saw. It's called Gentle with Barbara Streisand, and I went to watch it, and I expected it to be real crappy. Oh, excuse my language, but I really expected it to be bad. And I saw it, and I didn't really think Barbara Streisand could act, but I think that in this movie, I mean, she didn't do that good in other movies, but this movie, I think she did superb. I think she finally proved herself as an actress, and she was taken much more seriously. I feel that a lot of people take her more of as a singer than an actress, but sorry, baby, no more. I think it's both now. But it could have been better. I mean, it was totally based upon her life. And it should be more than just based upon her life. It should be more of a story, a line within another person. It's very difficult to explain. But anyway, I really suggest a lot of people can go see it because there is superb music in it. And it's a good movie, a very good storyline, makes a lot of sense, and I liked it. Okay, so this is Jeff from West L.A. signing off.
It's time for Movie Line News, brought to you by and for the moviegoers of Southern California. Alright, Fantasia, a film worth seeing again and again and a revelation for the first-time viewer, has been held over at the Avco Center Cinema. A journey into the imagination like no other, this 1940 collaboration between Walt Disney and conductor Leopold Stokowski has stunning, timeless imagery inspired by classical music. It's also running with a short subject entitled Thriller, which is up for Academy consideration. It's directed by John Landis and stars Michael Jackson. It might be too intense for young children. Michael Keaton, the comic star of Night Shift and Mr. Mom, has signed a long-term production deal with 20th Century Fox. The pact calls for Keaton and his writing partner Harry Colombi to make 4 of their next 5 feature films for Fox. No financial details were released regarding the deal, but the agreement is similar to the lucrative multi-picture deals enjoyed by Eddie Murphy with Paramount Pictures and Richard Pryor with Columbia Pictures. A new dimension, 3D, has been added to the chilling story of the world's most famous haunted house in Amityville, New York. Amityville 3D, a Dino De Laurentiis production of a Richard Fleischer film for release by Orion Pictures, is now playing at theaters and drive-ins everywhere. A third dimension has been added to the latest in the Amityville series, with the addition of photography systems so that audiences may not only witness the mystery and suspense of the all-new story, but also can become involved in it through the miracle of the added dimension. Richard Fleischer, director of Amityville 3D, previously made 6 films with special effects, all 6 of which won Academy Awards for their special effects people. These films are Arena, 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea, Tora, 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 Dr. Doolittle, and Fantastic Voyage. Amityville 3D is not a sequel to the pictures The Amityville Horror or Amityville 2, The Possession. Don Zimmerman, director of 20th Century Fox's Rhinestone, resigned due to personal reasons, but will continue to direct the film until Bob Clark, his replacement, takes over. Rhinestone, a romantic comedy starring Sylvester Stallone and Dolly Parton, is now shooting in Nashville after 2 weeks of location filming in New York City. Zimmerman, a former editor, received an Academy Award nomination for Coming Home, and also edited such films as Staying Alive, Rocky III, Barbarossa, A Change of Seasons, and Being There. Clark includes among his motion picture credits Tribute, for which Jack Lemmon was nominated for an Academy Award, Murder by Decree, Porky's, Porky's 2 the Next Day, Black Christmas, Breaking Point, and the current A Christmas Story. The original music for Rhinestone was composed by Dolly Parton and includes 14 songs, 4 of which she will sing with Stallone. Well, that's going to do it this week for Movie Line News. Thanks for calling, and now back into the tape.
Two most beautiful words in the world of comedy. Richard Pryor.
You remember me?
He's back in an all-new film with the last word on the state of the nation.
Don't take my word for it. Ask the president. I'm not the president. We in trouble.
A few words on the state of the economy.
You can eat 24 hours a day in America.
You got some money or a pistol, you can get something to eat.
And some helpful advice on drinking and driving.
When you come up, say everything's fine, okay?
Now, that's what you say in your brain, but your mouth has made up its mind.
Policeman, come under my... How you feeling?
I was in fish island. I was in out there.
He's fast and furious and hotter than ever.
We on fire again? What is...
Richard Pryor, here and now, from Columbia Pictures. Rated R. Under 17, not admitted without parent.
Hello, children. Well, here we are, Doc. The two lovebirds, all ready for the wedding. Sit down. Are we healthy enough to get married?
Yeah, both as solid as a new dollar. Sally, that first baby didn't hurt you a bit. You can have a dozen more if you want to. And Bob, you'll be pleased to know that there's no trace of your old VD. 100% cured.
What did you say about a first baby? Sally, you never told me you'd been married before.
Doctor, what did you call it? VD? You mean to say that Bob has actually had one of those horrible diseases? That isn't true, Doctor. Is that true, Bob?
Just a minute, Sally. One scandal at a time. When were you married before?
I wasn't.
But the doctor said you'd had a baby.
That's right, I have had a baby.
You mean it was illegitimate?
That's right, illegitimate. And now will you please tell me what the good doctor meant when he mentioned your old VD?
All right, if you must know, I did have it. But it's no worse than having an illegitimate child.
I think it is. Why, I'd sooner marry a leper.
Why, of all the unreasonable, little Miss Purity has herself a baby out of wedlock and then plays holier than thou. Fine attitude.
Thank you for letting me know about this in time, Dr. West. And now I'm going out into the clean, fresh air.
Well, there went my happy wedding right out the door.
I'm terribly sorry, Bob.
Got a piece of mail here from the P.O. Box that I have to read over the air here, and it's from the Gumball family. My lawyer recommended that I read it. It says, Dear Sirs, on September 29th, 1983, I called Palmac Presents to hear the tape for the first time. I suffered a 65% loss of hearing in my right ear. My mom then called and now has to wear a hearing aid. Subsequently, out of disbelief, my whole family listened and all suffered loss of hearing. Our lawyer says you're a menace and your disclaimer is not legal and binding. We're taking your buns to court. See you in Van Nuys soon. Oleo Gumball. On the reverse side, it says, I will drop all charges if you read this on the next tape. Oleo Gumball. Oh, well. Anyway, thanks for calling, and hey, call this Saturday for contest rules.
The Movie Line accepts no responsibility for loss of hearing due to high-fidelity programming broadcast over this line. And don't forget, you can write to The Movie Line, care of P.O. Box 2600, Mount Wilson, California, 91023. And don't forget to leave your movie reviews on The Movie Line, Friday and Saturday, at 761-3330. Good night, have a pleasant tomorrow. This broadcast will repeat momentarily.